Just lift your hand and tell Him, say, Jesus, my life belongs to You, Master. Lord, my only desire is to be Your slave, Your servant in this earth, that the Father's will be done, Lord. Long as I have You, Jesus, I have the best that this life has to offer, Lord. I'd rather have You, Jesus, than anything this world has to offer. I love You, Lord. My life belongs to You. Master, do with me as You will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The only thing about that song is it messes me up. I have trouble preaching after it. Glory to God. You might have heard Dave mention a couple of times some lessons. He calls it stewarding the pound sometimes, or provision versus stewardship. He's referring to the lessons here. This tape series is called Stewarding the Pound. Could I ask you, would y'all mind, those of you that have never heard this set or the related teachings I've done here at the church, if you've never heard that concept exactly, stewarding the pound, would you mind to raise your hand? Oh, my God. Okay, that's why the Lord has having me do it this way. Hallelujah. Because He told me, let me show you something. See, now, this is one of the best-kept secrets in the land. Gary Carpenter has tape sets. The reason they're not out on the table is we offer all... Now, this is what the Lord told me to do. I don't try and impose this on anybody. I don't think there's anything wrong with the way churches will, to sell the tapes, But the way He told Sue and I to do it, He says, I want you to give all of your tapes away free. Well, that's fine, except if you offer anything for free, I could offer you purple widgets out there for free and everybody'd want one. Doesn't mean they need a purple widget. Doesn't mean they'd ever do anything with a purple widget. You understand? But if it's free, I'm taking my purple widget, Well, the tapes are free and we're going to give you an opportunity to sign up for these at the end of this service. But there is a lot to teach. This is one of the most recent things that we've done. It's called Stewarding the Pound. It's from Luke 19. Now, most people, when they hear what I'm about to tell you, they say, please, let me have Stewarding the Pound. Well, and we will give it to you first if that's what you want. Trouble is, we have three other tape series here that lead up to that one. And each one of these is progressive. If you get these in the proper sequence, you'll get these revelations. One of them is called the Houston Kingdom Finance Seminar. LaRue, stand up. There's four of my messages and two of LaRue's. This is LaRue from Houston, LaRue Atkinson. Two of his messages are in here. This next series is called Grace, God's Foundation for Abundance. I want to talk about a particular message in there some today. Then this next one is called God's Steward of Kingdom Finances. Now, the reason I'd like for you to listen to these in order is, number one, the best way to receive the Word of God is line upon line, precept upon precept, little by little. Because just to be quite honest with you, even if you hear what's in Stewarding the Pound, and it begins working for you, which it will if you do it properly, you're not going to be dead enough to do it. When the money comes, it'll take you out. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, unless you're a long-time Robersonite and have already been praying in the closet a long time and fasting and doing all of those things. Now, if you've really been doing that, then you might survive. You might survive and still go to heaven. I'm serious. I'm serious. The potential for increase in your finances with this set of tapes is only limited by God Himself, which means there is no limit to what can happen. Well, what do you mean by that? Can you give us more detail? All right, how's this? It was January 1st of 1999, this year, when Sue and I really totally understood the concepts that are in this set of tapes. that caused us to make some heart decisions concerning our finances, where we were able to distinguish, make a distinction in our mind between our provision, what we would live on, and the Lord's pound. Now that concept, y'all remember in Luke 19 when the Lord divided amongst his 10 servants a pound apiece? Later he come back to see how much each man had gained by trading. Okay? So we saw, and when they brought, you know, he called that first servant, and what did he do? He says, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. So in that servant's mind, how much of the increase was the Lord's? Let me hear you again. All of it? Oh. And the original pound. Gee, I thought all the increase, I thought 90% of it was mine, and the tithe was the Lord's. Now we have been delivered from the law. Honey, in this covenant, 90% isn't yours and 10% the Lord's. You've been bought with a price. Your life is not your own. This is a new covenant. Why don't we start living in it? Why don't we start living in it, see? Now, there's lots of details. All I'm going to be able to do is slash a few sacred cows for you today. The details are in these tapes. And if you'll go, especially if you'll take them one at a time, it's going to take you, I'm telling you, they're going to bust down decades of tradition. Decades of religion in you. You're going to have to listen to these several times. LaRue, after I taught one in there called the Widow's Mite, they were rejoicing that night. But he's like me. I know exactly what happened. It's been pounded into us one certain way for so long. He was rejoicing the night I taught it. And the next morning he called me up and he says, can you come over and preach it again? I lost it again already, you know. We don't realize how religion is ingrained in us. We've been brainwashed for many years. Okay, now I was going to tell you, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. Now, I'm an engineer by training. You know, down home, they don't really care much about your theory. Is the pudding any good? If the pudding is good, I'll eat it. Otherwise, I don't want to care about your recipe. You know? One recipe's as good as another. If the pudding don't taste any good, I only care about the good-tasting pudding. But let me tell you what's happened since we learned these things. Now, last year, 1998... Sue and I had already been free of some things, religion-wise, when it comes to finances, for quite a while. So we were already pretty well, we were operating more in what I call relationship with the Lord instead of formula for quite a while. But we were still learning things. So the end result in 1998, if you took our income, what we personally lived on, and then the amount that we were able to get, let's just talk about Dave Roberson Ministries, because obviously that's the place where we give the most. Amen? Okay, so that year, 1998, what we lived on, what we gave into this ministry amounted to about 20%. I know a lot of you guys are doing that, aren't you? You know, really, about, you know, a tithe and a matching, you know, about 20%. Well, that was the best we were able to do. We weren't limiting to that. What we were really trying to do was, as we would live and then pay the expenses of the ministry that we have, then we were given all we could give over here, and it just turned out to be 20%, okay? Now, the reason I'm telling you that is this. I this morning, knowing I was going to be speaking this afternoon, I got my little computer fired up, and we keep all of our records in Quicken and QuickBooks, you know. All right? Through three quarters, we just passed three quarters of the year, we have given 3 years' worth. In other words, every quarter of this year so far, we've been able to give the same as we gave in all of 1998. How big a percentage increase is that? 300%? We only started this January 1st. Okay? Well, that means you took a lot less. Y'all had to really, you've been probably living really poor. No. We didn't take any less ourselves. The only thing that changed was we made this decision in our heart. Lord, this is our provision amount right here. Certain amount every month. The details are in the tapes, okay? And anything that comes in above that, Lord, that's your pound. And it's almost like the Lord said, now wait a minute, Gary and Sue, let me make sure I understood what you said there. Now you're saying that you're going to be content to live on this much a month, like we already had been, and anything that comes in over that is my pound? Well, let me just show you what I can do with my pound. Because we didn't change anything we were doing. We're still sending all the tapes out free. We don't have a church. We receive no regular, tithe every week. You understand what I'm saying? Even when we do go and minister at other churches, which we don't go very often, I think we've been 3 to 3 this year, we leave it totally between that pastor and the Lord whether they even take up an offering or not. You know? So what I'm saying is we didn't do anything ourselves to cause any increase. But that decision that we made in our heart freed the Holy Spirit to start moving on the hearts of the people. And all of a sudden, people that we've been sending tapes to for 2 years that never sent in a nickel, and we continue to send you tapes till you die if you don't ever send anything. It really is a free deal. As long as you want tapes, they'll keep coming till they tell me that you died. Don't send tapes to that person, they died, you know. See what I'm saying? I mean, all of a sudden, though, people have been getting tapes for maybe 2 years. All of a sudden now, I just feel like we need to start supporting you on a monthly basis. So, 20, 30, 40 bucks. People that had already been big givers, God moved on them to double their giving. People from Switzerland. We started getting stuff from Switzerland. I'm from Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. We started this ministry in our living room. If you'd have told me then that a few years later we'd be getting checks from Switzerland, I'd be going, you've been eating some bad pizza. You're having dreams and visions, but they're not God. I think that's a pretty good increase. 300, I think Dave likes it. 3 years worth in 3 quarters. I mean, every quarter, a year's worth, doing the best we could. Been at this a long time, And honey, we just barely got started. Let me tell you about our personal income. Because right before we went to this little church in, what was the name of that town? Oh, Immokalee. Now, right before we went down there, I have to use my hands. All right, now, in 98, if this vertical distance between my hands represents mine and Sue's income, okay, we were giving about 20%. Can you see that? This is our income, and we were giving about 20% in 1998. All right, before we went to Immokalee, this year, the way it was working, if this was our income, because it stayed basically the same, this is the amount we were giving. Same. In other words, just the way it was working, we had enough surplus. We were just receiving a set amount every month. But the Lord moved on the people to send in more. Well, we told the Lord, whatever comes in extra is yours. And the amount we were giving was identical to the amount we were drawing ourselves. So we've already gone from 20% to 100%. In other words, equal amount. If that's the way you would say it, I don't know. Of course, it's not God. Because one of the questions that kept coming up on this, how do you ever get any increase yourself? And I basically went, I don't know. All I know is the Lord is righteous. I said, how would you get an increase from any employer? Perhaps you should go talk with him. Say, Lord, our needs are increasing. Could we increase our monthly allotment, every 6 months? Have a review or something. I don't know. See, I treat him like he's real. I tell everyone I work for a rich Jew. If I need a raise, I'll go talk to him. But I told him even then, didn't I? Y'all that were here, I says, now I tell you, you never worked for anybody that loved you like Jesus. No employer you ever had loves you like he does. I said, somehow, I don't totally know. I'm just starting in this, but I said, I know he has his way of blessing you. He has a way of getting it to you. We go down to this little church in Immokalee, which I love Immokalee. Don't want you to. But Immokalee is not your typical, in Oklahoma, when we think of Florida towns, we think of Palm Beach and, we think of the tourist-type places where it's glamorous and ritzy and sand and beaches. We don't think about the cities over in the center of the state, not on the ocean. where working people live, you know, where the orange groves are and the farms with all those tomatoes and all those crops, you know. Well, that's the kind of town Immokalee is. I mean, no preacher in his right mind, if he was trying to, now I'm talking about the kind of preacher that thinks about where to go to get a big offering. I mean, Bronk, I hope this is okay, but I love these people, you know. But now, you'd be thinking, John, you know, Lakewood in Houston, you'd be thinking your big churches somewhere, you know. Nobody in their right mind would say, okay, now I need a big offering. I think I'll go to Immokalee. No, you just wouldn't. Well, we get down there, and this is all on a tape too, but our car's 9 years old. Sue and I had asked the Lord for a better car. I mean, it's fine. This is where we get everything. We ask the Lord. We don't tell anybody else. We just ask the Lord. On the way down there, we had done this. I mean, that's how, just on the way, you know. Well, mate, I'll tell you the reason why. We got a little nervous taking our, it's a 9-year-old car. It runs fine. But every now and then at night, the headlights just go away. It's okay, because if you hit the dash in just the right spot, they'll come back on. But one time that happened, and I hit it, and they came back on, and went, dog! You know, there's a dog right in the middle of the road, and he didn't see us coming, I guess, with no headlights. Dog, man, you know, and swerved out of the way. Say, honey, it's about time. Don't you think we better ask for a car? So we did, and we asked the Lord for a car. Well, we get down there, and the last night, which is a Thursday night, I mean, there couldn't be 70 people, maybe, if even that many that night. You know, it's Thursday night service. And Bronk, at the end of the service, when Bronk says, God talks to me, it's like when Dave says, God talks to me. It's because God told him something. Well, Bronk stands up and says, and we hadn't said anything to him about a car. He says, the Lord told me where to take up an offering for Gary and Sue a car. Well, praise God, you know. And again, I don't have time to really go into all this. We have a good tape on this, give all these details. Let me just tell you the end result. Because the question is, remember, the question is, how will you get an increase? God had, just trust me, God has His ways. Because Bronk says, he told him, he says, now this offering is to be for a car. And you need to designate it for a car. Because if you don't, I know them, they'll give the money away. But if you designate it for a car, then they have to take it personally for a car. And that's right. So when service is over, they take the offering. We're fellowshipping a little bit. Bronk goes in his office, comes back out, and Bronk kind of stand up. He's kind of olive-skinned, nice Florida guy, tan, you know, and everything. He come out of his office looking a little pale. And he's, you know, he says, his hand trembling a little bit as he got me by the shoulder and says, Gary and Sue, could you come in my office for just a minute? I come in there, and he starts picking up some of these checks. His hand's trembling. You want to know how much come in that night? This little church? $11,900. Bronk said, I was counting those checks going, oh, God. Oh, God. And besides, on top of that, an IOU come in. Somebody didn't have their checkbook or something. Another $4,000. The following says, and then we got back and told the story, and somebody here put $100 with it to make it an even $16,000. In fact, we've got another $100 since then, so it's $16,100 now. God, and we had to take it personally. He has His way. Say, yeah, but you're a preacher. Honey, He knows your address too. I don't know how He'll get it to you with Michael. All of a sudden, this new company in a new town that he's working for, Michael Tucker, he started applying these principles, and all of a sudden, the biggest bonuses in the history of the company. Isn't that right, Michael? Am I telling it right? The biggest, something like 40% bonuses. Hallelujah. The Lord has His way. If he has to bless an entire company to get your increase to you, He's God. That's what I'm telling you. There are no limits. Dave says that this message here is the missing ingredient. It's what has been missing from the prosperity message. Because this one kills the greed in it. This one kills the greedy. Okay, I talked really too long on that. But now stewarding the pound is available. We're going to let you know how you can get all of these. I would really prefer that you get the entire series. We send you one series a month. You say, well, I want them faster than that. Honey, it's going to take you a month to even begin to assimilate what's in there. Not because the message is so high. No, the heart change is high. You may hear it quick and understand it quick, but your heart conforming to it is going to take a little while. Your heart is going to go more and more of a servant, more and more of a servant, more and more of a servant, till you become the kind of steward he can trust with money. Okay? Now, I know how to prosper in the kingdom. I've been in church. I've been in charismatic circles since 1972 or whatever, you know? Well, how do you prosper? Oh, Luke 6:38. Give. I know how to do it. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together and running over. So God calls men to pour in your bosom. So I know what to do, Brother Gary. When they pass the offering bucket, I can just put in a nice big offering and continue to live in strife with my neighbor. And God's going to just bless me. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together and running over. And it doesn't matter that I'm full of envy and strife and self-seeking, and I don't care anything about my call or serving God, but Luke 6:38 says it, Brother Gary. All I have to do is put that legalistic big offering in that bucket when they pass it. And now, if you're still thinking like that, the kindergarten is open. We have children that could instruct you. If you think Luke chapter 6 has got anything to do with a church offering, the kindergarten is open. Luke chapter 6 is how much of your life are you willing to lay down for those lost heathen that are suing you and treating you so bad? How much of your life are you willing to lay down? The more you're willing to lay down, the more God will see you through. They may come and take your goods, and he says when they do, you give them your cloak also. They may slap you on the cheek and you turn the other one for them also. They may leave laughing with your stuff. But see, you extended the mercy of God towards them. You did not resist evil. You stood up for your witness for Jesus. The promise in Luke 6:38, the Father says, if you're willing to go that far to extend my mercy to the lost, yes, they may take your goods. But my promise to you is I will cause men to give back into your bosom. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You will never be permanently diminished by standing up for my gospel. Honey, that's a little different than plunking that offering in the bucket when it comes by. Little different heart motivation there. Little different level of maturity going on there. Amen? Sacred cow number two. Let's go to everybody's favorite. Let's go to everybody's favorite. Be turning to Matthew 6. Now, all I'm able to do today, because the Holy Spirit's given me instructions to be sure and let you out by about 4:20, 4:30, somewhere like that. Because you're getting as much as you can absorb this week anyway, aren't you? I mean, there's a lot coming. And it's going to be powerful tonight. And I really recommend, go get a bite to eat, something like that, but get some rest. Get some rest so you can get full benefit of what's coming tonight. I personally am going to go lay before the Lord. Literally on the couch or the bed for about an hour. Lay before the Lord and let him refresh me. Well, let's talk about sowing and reaping. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Every one of these things that I mentioned here, these sacred cows, you'll find in God's Steward of Kingdom Finances, some of these titles here, one of them is Sowing and Reaping. You say, oh my God, the last thing I need to hear is another sowing and reaping message. I have heard sowing and reaping till it's reaping out my ears, you know. Honey, you ain't never heard a sowing and reaping message like this. I'm telling you right now, you haven't. Well, how can you say that? Well, I'm telling you, your prosperity is not based on it. but that's all I see and hear on Christian TV. I mean, every book I've read, almost every sermon, I mean, they tell you all the time, if you want to reap, you got to sow. Don't they? Don't all of us know how to prosper in the kingdom? Isn't that right? You reap what you sow. If you want a big crop, you got to sow a big field. Amen? Oh, is that right? Matthew 6. Now, just in my Bible, I don't know about yours, these are red letters. This is Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And just so you'll know for sure, he's talking about financial things here. Look at verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen? Now, is he talking about finances or not? He is, isn't he? All right? So it goes on down here. Now, remember the subject, because I want to shock you. How do you prosper? What's our number one doctrine in the body of Christ in charismatic circles? If you want to reap big, you've got to sow big. Your prosperity, they tell you all the time, is based on your sowing, isn't it? Isn't that what they tell you? Benefit of the tape. Don't nod at me. Isn't that what they tell you?
Yeah.
See, there are people here. Several of them. Hallelujah. They'll be going, they don't know you're out there going, you know. All right, now, so that's what we're taught. Boy, if you want to prosper, you better sow. Well, now, in this same message, come on down to verse 26. Just skip over one. He's trying to tell us how this works. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, sowing and reaping, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your measure, unto his stature? But that one there about the fowls of the air, verse 26. Now, we're bombarded all the time on Christian TV. And every message practically where you go. Your prosperity depends on your sowing. But Jesus, when he's trying to teach us, he's going, you better think about the birds. Because they don't sow. And they don't reap. And your Father takes care of them. And you're telling me, though he won't provide for you, you're not as valuable to him as the birds? Quiet in this Pentecostal church now. Isn't it? Makes you wonder what's going on. Well, let's go on just another verse, and then I'll do it, Andre. I saw you. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. Okay, let's read the whole thing. Start in verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, based on what I just said, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What's Jesus trying to do here? Well, you can say, why are you sons and daughters of the living God spending your lives concerned about, oh my God, how are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What kind of house are we going to live in? What kind of car are we going to drive? How are we going to educate our kids? Later on in this same passage, he says, that kind of thinking is what the Gentiles do, the unbelievers. From the birth to the grave, they're consumed with those matters. And they're not at all interested in the kingdom of God. They're not even saved. Their whole life is about what are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? where are we going to live? He says, y'all shouldn't be like that. He says, haven't you ever thought about the birds? He says, birds, what? How about the lilies? This is what Andrea likes. How about the lilies? Did you notice lilies don't pass out any tracts? They don't toil, they don't spin, they don't work for God at all. Here's a lily. I'm a lily. I just in the field and the breeze blows me like this. And the breeze may blow me like that. And I don't pass out any tracts. I don't witness at all. And yet, God takes care of me. And ain't I pretty? And Jesus is going, can't you have at least that much simple faith? You're His child. He'll take care of the birds and the lilies, the grass, and He's not going to feed you. Oh, ye of little faith. What He's trying to teach you is inheritance. It's not based on your sowing and reaping. That is a sharecropper's mentality, not a son's. Some of you have heard of that. Some of you haven't. And again, God's steward of kingdom finances, from sharecropper to sonship, or pass the prosperity, please. How many of you have never heard that take? You're in for a surprise. The whole idea, this whole passage here, what Jesus is trying to teach you. Listen, there's been a change of covenants. You're not servants with a death nature that God has to hold a carrot out in front of you so that if you do this, I will bless you. And if you do that, you're cursed like a little child anymore. Little flesh creature with little formulas because you can't hear Him directly. So I give you a little, you know, here's your carrot. Do it nice and you get blessed. And if you don't do it right, you're going to get cursed. Like the same way we do our children. Bless God, it's the law till faith comes. Isn't it? Don't we spank their little behinds till they learn? Well, when they were spiritually dead, He had no other way to deal with them but by these formulas, what we call the law. But honey, we have been born again. We're not even operating under that principle anymore. We're operating by inheritance. Everything in our covenant is by faith. Faith in what? The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, okay, what does that mean? Go to 2 Corinthians 8:9. I'll show you exactly what it means. We're not talking some vague, general, you know, theological terms that nobody knows what, you know, what does it mean? Do you know what this means? He bore your sin so that you could be made the righteousness of God. Do you know what this means? He bore your sickness and carried your pain so you'd always have access to His health. You understand that, don't you? Well, now watch this. It's the same thing on that same cross. He bore your poverty. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich... Stop. Where? When was He rich? In heaven. Jasper walls, diamond doorknobs, streets made out of gold, what we prize and may have wars over, they use for asphalt there. Okay? You talk about rich. He did not have to leave there. Everything He did for us. I mean, if He was just serving Himself, He'd have stayed in heaven. You talk about rich. But watch this. Though He was rich, yet for your sake, He become poor. Where? On the cross. To the point they even stripped Him of every earthly possession, even cast lots for His garments. I know in the pictures in Sunday school they show Him with that little loincloth. He didn't even have that. Now, I mean, it was absolute, abject poverty. And it says He did it for you. He bore my sin that I could have His righteousness. He bore my sickness that I could have His health. And now notice the last part of this. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, not your giving. Through His poverty, the substitution. That right there is where He made you an heir. Through His poverty might be rich. He bore your sin so you could have His righteousness. I'd say it again. Look, all you got to do is read it this way. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was sin-free, yet for your sakes He became sin, that you, through that sin, might be the righteousness of God in Him. Doesn't that make sense? Won't that fit? All right, watch this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was all health, yet for your sakes He became sickness itself, that through that penalty you might be healed. Or you could say, by His stripes you were healed. You got that? All right. Now, it's threefold, though. It's sin, sickness, and poverty. That's the threefold curse right there, see? This is the third part of it. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, by that substitution, might be rich. He took your poverty so you could walk right into all of His riches and have access to the unlimited resources of God. How long? For eternity. That's what Dave was saying. See, I mean, because Dave says it's so cute. He does. He says, I used to give, trying to get rich. He's really talking about this verse, aren't you, Dave? It's the revelation of that verse. He says, I used to be that way. So did I. So did you, and some of you still are. And as long as you're doing that by your actions, you're proving you don't believe it's a done deal. No, I'm not giving trying to get rich. I'm giving because I am. Bless God. I really am. And now more and more of it's manifesting. Sue and I know what it's like to be on that always needing side. We lived a whole year, the first year of our ministry. We didn't buy so much as a hamburger. Why? We couldn't. And I mean, God moved just miraculous. We felt like Elijah and the ravens coming. You know, I mean, just... We've been on that side. I mean, we've been on that side. Now, not only are we able to put worth of our giving in three quarters, that's just to this ministry. We also give to... I'm just bragging on what the Lord's done. I'm trying to get the truth of this message across to you. Plus, we're able to give to other ministries. Plus, I tell you what it's like. It's like, okay, we're our Father's ambassador. He's got us set up with an income. We're fine. We have our provision. Now He's filled up our... We have these silos that are marked Father's Kingdom. And it's like He fills them up with grain, money. You know, we have this extra money. And so, whenever a need comes along, the Father says, I'd like for you to use some of my resources to take care of that. We go, okay. Whether it's giving into our local body, whether it's giving to another minister, or whether it's paying for motel rooms so they can come to conference. Or food, or whatever else. You just become His hand in the earth. I like to use this example all the time, see? Now, my hand, this is my hand. My hand is supposed to get its instructions from my brain. Isn't that right? Now, in the natural, when a hand begins doing things, when it did not get instructions from the brain, you know, that's various kinds of sickness. Muscular dystrophy. There's some polio. There's something wrong. Honey, the body of Christ. Something wrong. If my hand... Now, I did not give it these instructions. But my hand just reached in my wallet, and my body starts walking over here, and my brain is going, what is my hand doing? I didn't tell my hand to do this. And my hand just starts opening up my wallet, and walks right over here to Jim Martin. Of course, Jim thinks it's God. And starts taking out all my money. And my brain all the while is going, what are you, hand? What are you doing? I didn't tell you to do that. And on the way, it takes all the money, gives it to Jim, and walking back, I'm having this discussion with my hand. And I'm going, hand, I did not tell you to do that.
Why did you take that money and give it to Jim?
Well, because I was watching Christian TV last night. And I found out how you prosper. The more you sow, the more you reap. He's a preacher, so I sowed to him. Okay, now that's funny. That's ludicrous, isn't it? But see, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We be the hands. We're supposed to be getting our instructions from him. He's alive. He's still talking. See? And if he tells me to give it all to Jim, glory to God, that's exactly what we're going to do. If he tells me not to give him 2 cents, I ain't giving him 2 cents. Now, in the natural, if my natural hand did that with my wallet, I guarantee you one thing. That hand is not going to be trusted with much money. You got that right. I'm not going to entrust much money to that hand, would you? Now you know why the body of Christ is poor. We're not connected with the head. We don't know how to hear from him. Because we don't want to pay the price to hear from him, we just settle for little formulas. Oh my God, I just want to go give my little formula and I'll get blessed, you know. We don't have any stewards he can trust. They can't even hear him. Can't hear him. Plus we're just not quite sure. Just maybe. If we don't tithe, just maybe, we might really be cursed. Well, you're going to have to find out one way or the other. Paul says, you become circumcised, you start operating. Dave said this morning, when you start obeying the law, you start doing that, where do you quit? Anywhere you go under the law, where are you going to stop now? Pretty soon you're going to be stoning people for picking up sticks on the Sabbath? What? It's funny how the same preachers that preach that stuff out of Malachi don't ever read Malachi. Let me show you something out of the book of Malachi. I was going to be nice, but I decided otherwise. I didn't even eat a hamburger, huh? Well, and I'm not mad because I know that most pastors that are preaching it sincerely. I mean, what I mean is they believe what they're preaching. I haven't met too many that are really crooks. You know, some of them are. Well, they are. For a lot of them, it's a way to make a living without working. You know, spend a lot of time. You can, you know, do that and have a nice golf life, you know. Stuff like that. Most of them. It's a matter of learning how to... I thank God for Dave. I didn't know this stuff until I learned how to meditate the Word from my pastor. Learned how to pray in other tongues where the Holy Spirit could become my teacher. And not just be left at the mercy of a Christian TV. I'm sorry. You know? So how many of them do you listen to? None. Not right now. When I need to find out what's wrong, I listen to it some. So I go pray and ask the Holy Ghost how to fix it. Sorry. It's the truth. The only one I watch right now is Benny Hinn, and just the one that I watch is that one where it's "This Is Your Day." Because the Lord wants me to keep those miracles in front of him. That's the only thing he'll let me watch right now. Are you saying you're the only one with the answer? Not at all. I don't even know very much. I really don't. But in this realm right here, this is part of my assignment in the body of Christ. He says, "Son, I am going to change my church's mentality from formula to relationship when it comes to kingdom finance. And I've called you to help me do it." So I'm just a little cog in this big wheel, but that's part of my call. Well, I can't be taking poison in right now. I go read this book, pray in tongues, let the Holy Ghost show me how this works. Well, I call a 300% increase in 9 months. Bless God, something's working. Something's working. Oh, I never did tell you about Immokalee. I didn't finish that up. Because we had to take that personally. Now, up until right then, what we were giving and the amount we were drawing, it just the way it turned out, it was like 100%, you know, equal. Now, all of a sudden, year to date this year, after that offering, compared to year to date last year, without the, all of a sudden now, we have our personal, what we're living on,
And God forced me into it through book. We've had a 60% increase year to date. Given three times as much in three quarters as we did all of last year. And we still have surplus. Where the Lord's, you know, it's His. We're, you know, if we see needs, we're able to meet them. And it's such a blessing to be on that side of the equation. It's so nice to be the one that God can come to and say, give, rather than us always being the one, oh God, where can we go to get? And, you know, I mean, really, we need it. You know, when you need it, you need it. But it's so, now I know what Jesus meant. He said it's more blessed to give than receive. Honey, I'd much rather be on the giving side of this thing than on the receiving side. It's wonderful to be on this side, isn't it, baby? We've been on that other side too long. Amen. Malachi. Now, I'm not even, if I was to even say these words, open your Bibles to Malachi 3. See, by reflex now, you've been so trained, you automatically reach for your wallet and your checkbook because you know what's coming. I mean, the charismatic people, we just know what to do. Malachi 3, oh, okay. We know what's coming. We're about to give, okay? And we could look at it just quickly. I know y'all know it by heart. But look at 3:8. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even his whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, so forth and so on. I mean, you've heard that and heard that and heard that probably last Sunday. The end result being this. The end result. And gosh, they even now, this thing's going around where the tithe only opens the window of heaven. Oh, and it's the amount of offering you put through that open window that determines your return. Oh, phooey. Phooey. You err. Give me a break. You're thinking like a sharecropper again. I don't have time to preach that message. But let me tell you, there is a big difference between the sharecropper who knows he doesn't own any land. He doesn't have anything. And his whole mentality is, if the owner will let, if he'll give me some seed, then I will sow the land and I would only keep a portion, but my prosperity is strictly based on my sowing. Now that's the way a sharecropper thinks. Isn't that right? Sons of that same owner don't even think that way. They're going to eat at the family dinner table. Why? Because they're sons. When they go out and sow in daddy's fields that day, they don't come in that night and get fed in proportion to the number of acres they sowed. They're just out there laboring because they are sons with an inheritance. And they can eat supper every night. Dinner is at 5. Amen? There is a vast difference in those two mindsets. But the whole body of Christ right now is thinking like sharecroppers when we've been heirs the whole time. See, my thinking now, thank God Dave keeps taking us further down that trail. My thinking now, I wonder what it is God could ask me to do that I couldn't afford. I wonder just how I would exhaust that inheritance. I was thinking about this one time. I just happened to be in Houston and the idea hit me. I thought, well, yeah, I don't know. There's several million people live in Houston. Now, we were fledgling ministry. Hadn't been in it very long. And we started with it, by the way, with a $10 bill and a 20-year-old Panasonic tape recorder. That's what we started with. Today, we're sending out tapes all around the world for free. I don't know, 4,000 a month, something like that. 1,600 families on the mailing list. If you'd have told me then we'd be doing this now, I'd have fell over dead, I guess. I don't know. When you have $10 and it, you know. But anyway, I was down in Houston preaching this message and the idea hit me. I was trying to think, I wonder what it is God could ask me to do that I couldn't afford. And this idea hit me. You know, if God asked me, if He says, I want you to send a tape to every address in Houston, free. Well, there's several. Isn't there several million live in Houston? How many? 4 million? Okay, 4 million. Just the cassette alone. If you don't get a good discount, it's about 50 cents a tape. That's $2 million. And you could probably get the label on it for that. $2 million. And then the postage to mail it. And the bubble mailer. and there'll probably be some printing on it or something. We're talking at least $2 to $3 million. Wouldn't you call that reasonable? And my mentality now, I'm as serious as a box of rocks. Oh, I know exactly how to do that. He hadn't told me to do that, but if he did, I know exactly how to do it. Start. Just start, that's all. Well, give me the phone book. We'll start with the A's, bless God. How much money you got? $20. That'll buy 40 tapes. Let's go. You send that 40. Praise God, we have the money. You start calling those things that be not as though they were. Oh, thank you, Lord. We have $3 million to send out these tapes. You told me to do it. I'm not my provider. You're my provider. You're the one who told me to do this. God's already told me. He says, you know, I finance my stuff, not yours. I finance my plan, not yours. Trouble is, the whole church is so locked up in formulas, we don't even know how to find out the plan. Yeah, that's good preaching. Malachi, remember? Malachi. So the end result of this is always, if you want to be blessed, tithe and then even give more. That's the end result, isn't it? Always, and they pass the offering buckets. Well, now, isn't that a hoot? That the same prophet that God is speaking in the same book, just back up here now, chapter 1, which, when's the last time you heard a message out of Malachi 1? Let's see what's going on here. You know how Dave teaches meditation and assimilation? It might be a good idea to read. If you're going to be given 10, if you've been doing it for 20 years, given 10% of your income, and you're not exactly living in that land where there's no room to receive more blessings, I suggest reading the whole book. There might be some stuff they're leaving out. Right, now look at this, Malachi 1. I mean, God is telling these people more than bring more money. And he says, we're just starting verse, 6. Malachi 1:6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, preachers, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Well, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Now, that's King Jamesy. What he's really saying, he says, I really wish I could find a preacher that wouldn't even take these kind of offerings, that wouldn't receive them. Neither do you kindle your fire on my altar for naught. Now notice, I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Now this book starts off with God going, I've got some stuff to talk to you about. There's chapter 1 and chapter 2 before we ever get to chapter 3. I'm upset, says the Lord, about some stuff going on. And at this point, I am not going to even accept an offering from your hand. Now, I'm no rocket scientist. I'm really not. But I can read Malachi 3 over here and read Malachi 1, and I don't care what those preachers say. He is not telling you in chapter 3 to bring more of what he already can't bless in chapter 1. I mean, does that make any sense to you? He's not telling you the answer to your problems is bring more of what I can't bless. You get to reading the whole book, and there you'll find out he starts talking to him about things like, I want to talk to you about how you're treating your wife. You guys in your fourth, fifth marriages and fixing to, you know, treating this one as ugly as you treated the last four, I have somewhat against you. I want to talk to some of you about the way you're treating your children. I want to talk to you about how you're treating your neighbor. He talks about stealing. Then he starts talking about what the book is really about. He says, I'm not taking anything from you when you're just bringing it legalistically and trying to force me into blessing you, and your heart is not towards me. And it was Pastor Dave, the first time I ever heard these words, best sentence I ever heard in my life. Well, second. First one was, make Jesus Lord. Second one is, he says, the attitudes and motivations of your heart are far more important to your prosperity than the legalistic dollar you plunk in the bucket each week. That sentence is the book of Malachi. You read the whole book and find that for yourself. It's a heart problem in Malachi. Not a giving. Well, it manifested some as a giving problem. Honey, all the giving in the world wasn't going to solve that problem until they changed their heart. Even in the old covenant? Oh, yeah. God changeth not. He's after your heart. He doesn't really need your money. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all got time for one more cow? Now, I want you to understand, because see, people really get ugly with you when you start touching the tithe. Preachers and sheep sometimes. Now, the sheep, the reason they do it, it's not good to come in and just jerk somebody's foundation out from under them, the only thing they've ever known, the only thing they know to trust in. And I come in and I go, rip, you can't trust in that no more, and they're falling now through space like a vacuum. They're going, I don't know what to stand on. I resist you. Give me back my foundation. Even if the foundation is wrong, see. So what? The whole purpose of what we're trying to do, those that are building their foundation on the law, we're trying to remove that foundation and at the same time replace it with the born-again trail. See? Well, okay, you've trusted in your giving up till now. And I'm not saying there's no blessing with that. You know, there's some. But listen, wouldn't you rather exchange that law for the inheritance of Jesus Christ? I mean, he's made you a joint heir. Wouldn't you rather operate by inheritance than law? See? Now, the preachers, well, and I don't mean it in a bad way. LaRue, I'm going to have to ask you to come up and do it. LaRue, the thing I love about LaRue, there's a lot of things I love about LaRue. LaRue just really got a heart for God. He's got a specific call. His is the only church I know of, there may be other ones, where the main thrust, the primary call of this man is to groom and train and raise up gospel entrepreneurs. It's the only church I know like of it in the United States. There might be some other ones. Now, it's not that he doesn't preach everything, but his primary call is to train up gospel entrepreneurs. Isn't that something? Isn't that unique? So he started having me come down there. Been pastoring about 2 months, a little more at the time. And you can take it from there.
When Gary came down, he started in this particular trail of grace. And he come in with one of these messages like he just preached to you. And boy, I tell you what, it kind of just, like he just said, pulled that foundation right out from under you. And I said, oh my. And I'm sitting there and, I mean, my heart's beating because if any of you have been pastors out there, it don't take very long to know who gives and how much they give and how to plan around that giving. So as I was pastoring, I already knew what was going to take place next week, the week after, and the week after that. So when that foundation was pulled, I knew he was talking truth, but I pulled him aside. I said, Brother Gary, I had to spiritualize it, you understand.
His tone changed. It wasn't my LaRue. It was...
Yeah, he knew it. He pulled me in. I pulled him into a room. I said, can we come in this room? I shut the door, and you have to see this room. It was real small. I said, Brother Gary, What about the stability of the local church? And Gary, because what I was really saying is, what about this security I have that's just now been removed from me? And I'm sitting there. And so Gary, a rhino hide that he is, just stood there and said, well, you have one or two choices. He said, you can either be like any other church in the world and in the city, or you can go on and fulfill your calling. And that day I died. Hallelujah. And it was so interesting because I've never stood up here before, but I was back there in that chair and I felt like, Lord, I would really like to tell them what's going to take place after hearing something like this, because you're going to say hallelujah and something's going to take place on the inside of you. But when you go home tomorrow, you're going to be thinking, because when you've been taught and ingrained and programmed in a certain way, that program is going to run up and it's going to contend with this new phase. And what Gary said about all three of these particular series that he had taught, he taught there in our church, and I went back and listened to him again and again, because you have to get reprogrammed, because this flow has to be a natural flow. It has to be automatic, and there can be nothing contending in there. So you have to let the Lord come and reprogram. And what he said about stewarding the pound, I was just out to dinner with him the other night, and I said, if you don't get the provision side of Jesus being your provider, not based on anything, not your performance, but simply believing Him and Him alone, you cannot get the other side, because the devil, he will take it from you. So anyway, I just thought you might need to know that, especially pastors out there, if you'll release them. I did it. It took a while, but I tell you what, it's the most freest thing in the world. As I get up there during the offer, I said, bow your heads, close your eyes, and ask the Lord, the Father, what He'd have you to do, and you be led of His voice. And I tell you what, it never comes in the way you think it will, but it always comes in the most unexpected sources. And I like it that way, because I'm free now. Praise God. Hallelujah.
I love you. Praise God. That boy's so tall, I need a footstool to hug him. Praise God. Okay, we got about 5 more minutes here. I want to show you one more. By 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established. Okay, the sowing and reaping thing. We went to Matthew 6, where Jesus said, "Why are you hanging on that? Why are you listening to that church when your Father, He feeds the birds and they don't sow and reap?" I mean, there is a message there, don't you think? All right. For a second witness, how many of y'all would agree that ever since Jesus stood up after defeating the devil in the wilderness, returned in the power of the Spirit, Luke chapter 4, He stands up and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the blind see," and all of that. And He ends it up by saying, "The acceptable day of the Lord." Amen? How many of y'all know that He was announcing at that moment the year of Jubilee? You got that? Well, let's go look at the year of Jubilee. Go back to Leviticus 25. We'll see a shadow, another shadow from the Old Testament of this. Leviticus. Now, see, I had this all marked, and then I got to following David's sermon. I moved all my markers, so I got to find it. Yeah. Hallelujah. I was with you, Dave. I wasn't nodding or nothing. I was with you. Hallelujah. Okay, now the year of Jubilee. Everyone knows that, and that's the spirit that the Lord told us to declare over this conference. Well, the year of Jubilee, we'll look at it real quickly here, but it's Leviticus 25 where we're going. But, you know, every captive is set free, all debts are canceled, every man is restored to his original inheritance. And that's really what God's doing. The authority and dominion that He gave His first man, Adam, He has really restored to us through the last man, Adam. Amen? And we're to really be about the same business. We are the bride of Christ. Amen? He is the last Adam. Well, what's Adam and Eve supposed to do? Replenish the earth. And our number one call is soul winning. We're replenishing the earth. What's number two? Have dominion and subdue it. We're supposed to be going about doing good. healing all that are oppressed of the devil, taking dominion in His name. It's the same mission. The last Adam and the bride, the church, as the first Adam and Eve. We're doing the same thing. All right? So that spirit of Jubilee is where that's restored, see? Back to life and authority and dominion. All right? So let's look at the shadow of the year of Jubilee. Starting in verse 8, Leviticus 25, 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap. What? 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 In the year of Jubilee, you shall not sow, neither reap. Going down to verse 12, for it is the Jubilee, and it shall be holy unto you, and you shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. What's really going on here? What's going on here? One day I was meditating on those fowls of the air, like Jesus said, over at my ugly building where I pray. I got a mulberry tree that grew up wild there. And the birds were coming. It was harvest time. They were coming and feeding off those mulberries. And I got to thinking, you know, that's just a wild mulberry tree. No man planted that thing there. I said, really, that mulberry tree is just descended all the way back to the garden, I guess. I mean, it's really been propagated down through the millennia, tree to tree to tree. And really, those birds, since nobody, this isn't something man planted, those birds are really eating the fruit of God's original sowing. And then it dawned on me. 2 Corinthians 8:9. When Jesus come as the seed and bore my poverty. So just like those birds for all eternity, I can eat from the harvest of God's sowing into the earth. Well, no wonder Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by the seed that was sown. No, we don't prosper in the Jubilee by our own sowing and reaping. We eat from what has already been sown. And the seed is Jesus Christ when He bore your poverty. Did that bless you? Hallelujah. Now, we've put a bunch of these kind of cards back on the tape table. And the reason why, this is some we had on hand. So don't worry about the... Okay, I guess that's okay. Data entry request form, donor ID, don't worry about that. What we're after, if you're not already on our mailing list. Now, the reason we don't just duplicate these and lay them back there. We want you to have all the tapes you want. But bless God, we don't believe in being unwise stewards of His money. You with me? And if you take these, I don't care if you... Now, it's between you and the Lord if you ever sow anything into the ministry for them or not. I really don't care. What I do care is, if you're going to partake by taking the tapes, I want you to hear them. And I want you to pray about them. And I want you to put them to use. Amen? That's the reason I'm going to make you work just a little bit. It's more than just going back there and picking up a set. Yeah, it's free. We're taking it home. I got my purple widget. No. Fill out one of these cards. Fill out one of these cards. Print legibly. After you get through, hold it up to a person next to you. Can you read that? You'd be amazed how many of them we get. We just can't make out whether it's Illinois or what, you know. But all you have to do, just fill out one of the cards. And if you do that, since we're just doing this today, will know that you want this financial package. And I'll start sending, we'll start sending you these tapes one series at a time until you have them all. Now, if you can't stand it and you want stewarding the pound, we'll do whatever you ask. You can write on the back, I guess, or whatever. But I'm telling you again, without the other ones, I don't think you'll be dead enough to do it, even once you understand it. The first time that Sue, Eve, and I, the first little harvest that come in, well, let's call it harvest, the first 5,000 extra that the Lord trusted us with to give, we had never written a check for $5,000 before. And there's something in you, even after thousands of hours of prayer. I mean, it's just a moment. We're looking at each other. We're looking at this check. We're looking at our carpet. And the couch. And you know, we can all use nicer stuff. And still, even after all those thousands of hours, you know, and here our rich man, sure enough, true to his word, has sent now an increase above our provision. And we're going, just for a moment, didn't we, hon? Look out the window at the car. Hold on. But the joy was. It was just a twinge. It didn't even last 60 seconds. We were more thrilled about being able to give it than anything we could have bought with it. And then look what he did just a few months later. He bought us a new car anyhow. Amen. Amen. You see what I'm saying? It's all true. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? If we can ever get transformed enough to where when he blesses us big like that, we don't switch gods. Anyway, if you'd like to have those tapes, fill out one of these cards, please. They're back there on the tape table. You'll start getting them one series at a time. Put them into practice. By the way, feel free to duplicate or share anything that you ever get from Gary Carpenter Ministries. The idea, you don't even have to mention our name. The idea is to get the word out. Amen. You use it however the Lord leads you to spread the gospel. Father, I thank you for these people. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we are in life and not religion. Lord, we thank you that you are alive, that you've given us the ability to hear your voice, that we can be your hands in the earth and your servants, Lord, that we can not be led by formula, but be led by the Spirit of the living God, that you've given us ears to hear what the Spirit would say. Father, we give you praise for all these things in the name of Jesus. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.